Hi, everyone. This is Isaac, your host of the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. Today, we are going to get into part two of the Illuminati consumerism century of the self discussion. Previously on Illuminati consumerism part one, century of the self, Kanye, Freud, Bernays, and corporate mind control, we opened up this idea that Edward Bernays and Sigmund Freud and the psychoanalysts of that time had cracked the code to manipulation of the human masses. Of course, Brother Kanye on May 21st, 2018 tweeted the link to this documentary, and that is what got the ball rolling for me to actually watch it. I had heard of it before because of my research into Edward Bernays, but I never actually watched it, and it's 4 hours long, and let me tell you, it's worth watching. Now, in the first episode, I talked about Kanye West, and if you want to dive real deep on this stuff, you can listen to my podcast from May 2018 talking about Kanye West and about his ideas that he gave with his supposed rants and his, you know, and it's a curious thing here because we don't know if Kanye West is an MKUltra victim and he is a disinformation agent, or he's an MKUltra victim and he's trying to wake the world up, or he's just alkaline vegan woke. We don't know. Say hi to the dogs. The dogs are barking. They want to say hi to you. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. They're chihuahuas. You can't tell them a damn thing. You know, I had a Great Dane once, and he was the best dog. Didn't have to tell that dog nothing. He just knew it. You just talked to him, and he listened. These chihuahuas, boy, they don't care. So, episode one of my podcast, I broke down the first episode of Century of the Self. Talk about how Edward Bernays was a vampire because he lived to be 103. Talk about Freud's beliefs that molded Bernays' approach to all of this, because Bernays sort of relied upon Uncle Freud and his ideas that people were inherently dangerous and irrational and they must be controlled. Then Bernays took his belief systems and created this, what they called public relations field, which is actually just propaganda. But they can't call it propaganda. They call it public relations. And we gave some examples like the Torches of Freedom that manipulated women into smoking cigarettes, and how the masses were duped into all this because originally they sort of listened to the ideas presented to them by the corporations. Because the corporations would sort of assault them with facts. Like, hey, you need a car because of this, that, and the other. And it was a very factual basis. But Freud was basically like, look, these people are irrational. Don't talk to them that way. You're talking to them as if they're rational. What you need to do is play on their emotions and manipulate them into making purchases. And this evolved into the expression of character. Because back when they had the factual approach, the rational approach, they could have the factories that would you know, crank out X amount of widgets per day or whatever, because everyone needed this thing. Well, now people got wise to it and they said, you know, I want to be unique. I want to be an individual, and they had now to deal with this expression of character. And these different archetypes in society, we talked about the different people that, you know, people, you kind of expect a certain person to dress a certain way. And all of this, of course, is the proof that there is an Illuminati idea out there. Someone, a new elite to control this bewildered herd of consumers. And, this idea that man must be controlled is rooted in this weirder idea that they think they're doing us a favor by controlling us. They think that man could not be happy unless he was controlled. So you see, it's a very nefarious idea here. So they tap into the fears, they sell us the products, they move up in the this top 1% idea. But the first episode that I concluded with was discussing how democracy needed a balance between state powers, the people, and the corporations. Like, you kind of need all three, right? You can't just get rid of one of them. Can't have anarchy, as much as we'd like that, right? But you can't have it, because then a new thing pops into this. So you kind of need all three, but they need to be balanced is the key. And managing the inner psychological state was the next focus, which segues us into episode 2. Now, in episode 1, there was a brief, very brief talk about the inner dynamics of the mind. In episode 2, we go into a little bit of MKUltra stuff. I also did a little extra notes here that... Oh, and by the way, quick teaser, I'm actually going to do a show on Area 51. I went out there. Not a big deal. Let's not make a big deal of it. I didn't get into Area 51, but I went out to Rachel, Nevada, which is a mecca for any self-proclaiming ufologist. And I've been interested in that since the 90s, since Bill Cooper. He went out there. And I got some video footage of him. Well, like, I bought a video of him out there that he had filmed back in 1991, a few years after the Little Alien was built. So that's going to be like the next episode probably. But I wanted to kind of come back to this Illuminati consumerism part 2. So let's get into it, right? Some of the notes in my process of research for this episode, Freud, this is on Wikipedia now, so take that with what grain of salt you desire, because anyone can edit Wikipedia, which some argue that makes for a more accurate system. I don't know, man. Anyways, they said, Freud regarded the monotheistic God as an illusion based upon the infantile emotional need for a powerful supernatural paterfamilias. He maintained that religion, once necessary to restrain man's violent nature in the early stages of civilization, in modern times can be set aside in favor of reason and science. Now, that was curious to me, because that's not really what this documentary is saying. This documentary is saying that man is a savage beast of some sort, and you can manipulate their emotional state. So, I'm not sure what to make of that. Also, it says Freud was the one who came up with the term penis envy, or he subscribed to the term penis envy, and I didn't know what that meant, but it says it's where girls would have anxiety when they realized they were born without penises. I just thought that was intriguing. I didn't know what that meant. I thought it meant something else, but yeah, what a weird thing, right? Seems a little sexist, doesn't it? Anyways, these old Illuminati types from the early 1900s weren't the most progressive people. There'd be lots of triggering if you got in a time machine and went back. So where are we at here? So the World War II thing happened, and they confirmed this idea of the public relations working as propaganda. And the veterans that came back, they had PTSD. They called it shell shock, of course, back then. And the army actually hired a group of psychoanalysts to utilize Freud's ideas, because now these were like proven theories, and they wanted to keep the enlistment numbers up, because like these vets would come home with the PTSD and they'd get back in the community and people would be like, hey, I'm not trying to do that. So they wanted to keep the enlistment numbers up. And of course, you know, this is how all the greatest things start out, with experimentation on the armed forces, because it's sort of like a contract you sign when you get in, you don't have much of a say in anything. But they did some experiments back then. And back then, they thought, this is how crazy they were back then, they thought that PTSD was not actually from combat. But instead, they thought that combat unlocked these repressed childhood anxieties. And thus, this underlying, of course, irrationality that Freud claimed that humans had. And it created a dangerous sort of being because the combat unlocked it. Not because the combat was bad, but because man is bad. Now, this actually proved further Freud's ideas of the inherent danger in humans. And in America, they became terrified that all humans were capable of doing these actions that the German Nazis did in the German population that, you know, kind of supported that. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to condition their fellow Americans to avoid being triggered like this. Now, Freud's daughter, Anna Freud, she thought that all these humans could be helped to understand their inner being and teach them how to control this inner beast. And you could teach them from the young age, from when they're children, to conform to the rules of society. And think about it, that's exactly what happened. You know, when you were a kid, you went to school Monday through Friday, you know, 7 o'clock to, I don't know, 3:30 or whatever, an 8-hour shift, you put your 9 to 5 in, because that was the deal. And if you didn't conform to that, you were going to have problems in society, and they knew that from a young age. And then they got all these systems in place to reiterate these ideas, these juvenile hall and boys' school and military schools. And, that's what boot camp does, basic training. It strips you down to the basic so that they can build you up in the image of what they want. This way, when the children become adults, the conscious part of the mind, the ego, could control these animal forces of the unconscious. They are conditioning people, in which this is a Book of Isaac, by the way, this is my thoughts on it. I think that it suppresses the creative left or right mind sort of thinking and enforces the left mind rational, fact-based thinking, because that's all school is like jamming facts in your brain and then regurgitating them on a paper. There's no creativeness involved there. And David Icke talked a lot about that, and that was actually my first book of Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, a little bit on left-right brain thought. Anyways, they pushed this idea of the conscious controlling the unconscious, and this made psychoanalysts more popular because they could help you do this thing. And that, it was very, at that point, it was a commonplace thing to go see a psychoanalyst. And social workers were paid to go talk to families and tell them what home life was supposed to look like. You know, it's the big guiding hand here. Now, a guy named Ernest Dichter, I could be mispronouncing that. That might be Dichter. Either way, I'm sure I'm wrong on that pronunciation. But as you know, I don't give a shit how you pronounce a word. I'm going to say it the way I want to say it. As per the reviews on Audible for my book, The Dark Path, I self-narrated it. And I thought I had the pronunciations right, but people get really hung up on the fact that I say esoteric versus esoteric. I think it's properly pronounced esoteric, but I don't care. Say it how I want to say it. So Ernest Dichter used Bernays and Freud to figure out how to get people's hidden desires and use those hidden desires to buy products. And how did he do this? Well, he did it with focus groups. And the people, they were actually too embarrassed to speak the truth of what they wanted. So he did these experimentations to hear the hidden truths of what they really wanted. And this is what gave us the convenience foods and the cake mixes and so on from the 1950s and such, 60s. The Betty Crocker cake mix, it actually did not sell at first because the women who were in the kitchen back in the 50s, they felt guilty because it was so easy to make a cake at that point. Because I guess previously it was very difficult. But the barrier to them using Betty Crocker cake mix was the guilt. So what they did was they gave women a sense of participation by making them add an egg. Because it was a gift to the family, to her husband, to make this cake. And if it was too easy, it didn't feel like she had any skin in the game. You know what I'm saying? Kind of a weird mental trick that they played. They make you put an egg in that cake mix. Now, this worked because the consumer had desires that they didn't even understand. They didn't really know. They didn't put this together. It was only from Ernest Dichter Dichter that they had these focus groups. I'm going to mispronounce focus too. Can I just be dumb? Can I just not know how to pronounce words? Good, thanks. They didn't even understand it. So again, big picture here. There is a group out there that wants to know how the mind works. This is the Illuminati, my friends. This is why Facebook makes money, because they mine the data to figure out how you think. They're trying to piece it all together so they can manipulate you into doing things that benefit them. Like they were doing this back then to make money. And that's what's dangerous here, is that this science here works. And the other danger is that it doesn't work. It's not always true. The human mind cannot be simplified into binary ones and zeros. It just can't. They want that. They want to believe that. And they're pushing to make that a reality. They want to get our minds into this digital matrix. But to me, the human mind and the spirit can never be simplified like that. It's far too mysterious. That's the work of God, my friends. That's why I have a hard time with the atheists. That, you know, these occultists, I feel like my approach and their approach was almost the same. That's what's weird about my relationship with the occultists. I just choose the right-hand path and they choose the left-hand path. Because, they view religion as another manipulation, but which I get. I get why they say that, but like for me, it's not. For me, the actual true doctrine of Christianity is a lot deeper and more philosophical than the masses would believe. Because, you know, they get hung up on all this, like, gay marriage thing and, I don't know. And it's a bad look, you know? As Christians, you're supposed to love one another. Let God do the judgment. He takes that burden from you. You do not have to worry about what other people are doing. Isn't that beautiful? But a lot of the Christians out there want to get in everyone else's business. And to me, I'm like, I'm just trying to worry about myself. Not to sound selfish, but like, as far as I know, what I've learned, that as long as you believe in Christ and do your best, that's really all you got to do. Of course you're going to mess up. Of course there's sins to be made. Make them every day. Anyways. Off soapbox. So they knew that the people would want to identify themselves with the product, because the product is what gave people confidence. And that this confidence would in turn improve society. So again, they're not entirely wrong or evil for this. Trying to help people out here a little bit. Help themselves out a little bit too, you know. Make a little money along the way. So by the 1950s, the elite believed that they needed to create these conditions. They needed to tamp human irrationality because humans, left to their own devices, could not, would not thrive in a democracy. And I think it's very curious, side note, that the Trump Make America Great ideas were always like fantasizing about the 1950s. And, you know, that's a general statement. But like, what, you know, he says Make America Great Again. Like, he's talking about back in time. When exactly? I mean, the 50s weren't the best for women and black people and gay people. I mean, it wasn't great for everybody. But, yeah, 1950s were kind of like, to me, it seemed like that was the golden era of mass mind control. And in 1953, Bernays, he was employed again to fight the Cold War this time, and communism. And he would do this through films and these threats of nuclear fallout, if you remember all those like kind of scare tactic commercials they had, which was very, very real threat, okay? But again, it's connecting, like, again, it's the idea that the news could come on, I don't know, Walter Cronkite or whatever, could come on at night and say, look, the Soviet Union has X amount of rockets and they're pointed at us and it could blow up the world 10 times over, blah, blah, blah. But, which is fine, but like, you have to really drive home the unconscious fears and the unconscious desires to get the people to react. That's why 9/11 was so powerful, because there was a very hardcore emotional reaction because of all the images that we saw. We saw people jumping out of the buildings that were, you know, 100 stories plus. You don't rationalize with people. You get them to do what you want through fear and unconscious desires. So Bernays, old Eddie, he was hired by the United Fruit Company, which was like a dictatorship. I'm simplifying it over grossly, but he was hired by the United Fruit Company to regain control of Guatemala because they wanted to reinstate this dictatorship. So Bernays sent journalists down to Guatemala to start planting these seeds that the newly elected leader was actually a communist, which he wasn't. And then he set up these fake research groups to bombard the media with these fake news of tales of the Soviet Union connecting in with the new Guatemalan government, so that the American people were led to believe the Soviets were moving in right next door. The U.S. government and the CIA got involved, and they started bombing Guatemala. So you can see here, Eddie, he's a real dick. He kept messing around with everything. So this is all part of Edward Bernays' engineering of consent. This means that the masses needed led down the path that was ultimately good for them, according to whoever's doing this stuff. And this is an example of maybe they don't know what's good for you. I don't know what the Guatemalan people want. What do I know? Let them figure it out, you know? Instead, we're creating fake news to get the American public to live in fear. So at this point, the CIA, they thought that the Soviets were doing a similar thing on their end. And they were learning techniques for brainwashing in order to mess with their population. And they wanted to learn more about the Americans. Now, on the Century of the Self, they talk about this, and what they're referencing is that the CIA started the MKUltra project, okay? But they don't mention this in the Century of the Self. They don't even say the word. But we know what it is, right? And if you look at, you know, MKUltra stuff with Kanye West behavior, you can see some links there. An MKUltra doctor called Dr. John C. Lilly, he wrote a book on controlling minds called Programming and Metaprogramming in the Human Biocomputer. I read most of it, and it says the book claims that humans are merely biological computers. Again, they want to simplify our minds and our souls to digital binary bits. And all of this, of course, goes into transhuman evolution. They think we're just biocomputers and they're going to rewrite the code, do whatever they want. And in this book, they say that we actually learn through symbols. That's what John C. Lilly said. We learn through symbols. And what did Kanye West say during one of his rants? He says, we're controlled by symbols. He knows. How does he know this? He talks about, John C. Lilly, he talks about merging with God or the universe to destroy oneself, which has these ideas of this global consciousness, the collective unconsciousness that all the occultists talk about. And Dr. Lilly, he thinks that his theories of mind control are useful in programming others' minds. And he talks about freedom in that. Quote, if we can free ourselves from the effects on our thinking machine of storage of material from the external world, if we can free ourselves up from the effects of storage of meta-programs which direct our thinking, programs devised by others and fed to us during our learning years, we may be able to see the outline and essential variables which are genetically determined. Now, the question is, was Kanye kind of echoing this? Was he being programmed and now he understands it? Whether that be through waking up, you know, like he ate a lot of kale, now he's like mega woke, or maybe he got reprogrammed. Then in the book by Lilly, he goes into like kind of Luciferian talk about free thinkers and the adversary. So I think he's churning out the ideas. I'm sorry, not Lilly's book, Kanye, sorry. I'm looking at my notes and saying words that I see on the notes. But Kanye talks about like these sort of Luciferian concepts of being a free thinker and the adversary. So I think he's churning out these sort of thoughts that the Illuminati programmed into him. And like maybe he broke free from it. I don't know. It's just a very interesting concept. And watching Kanye is very fascinating to me. So where were we? We're talking about the CIA, MKUltra. And then this guy named Dr. Cameron thought that a mind could be erased entirely in order to be healed and depatterned to essential functions. So it's like these scientists find ways to start messing with one's brain and programming thoughts, and they think, ah, crap, we need to erase it and kind of start over. Because they're just taking stabs in the dark. They don't know what they're doing. And this is kind of what Jim Carrey's movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, if you recall, that's kind of what they were doing in that movie. They were trying to erase memories. And they talk about how in this book a person could be wiped clean and then rebuilt and programmed with positive thoughts. But what it turned into was people would have memory loss and they were of no help. And these sort of workshops exist to this day. You'll see these places that these like self-help places where they talk about how they like strip you down and then rebuild you to make you better, but like that's really scary stuff. Because the problem is that I think therapy is a better solution, because you kind of need this to understand what happened, and you have to be more proactive in the processing to heal. You can't rely on someone else to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. That's my two cents. I've gone to therapy many years, folks. Many years. And it's really good. And it's not because I went through some like massively traumatic thing or anything. It's just you got to know what makes you tick. You got to know how to show up the best way you can for other people, because if you don't know what makes you tick, you won't know why you respond the way you do to people and why you behave certain ways. And you know, you can be a real dick to people without knowing that that's what you're doing. And once you get through enough therapy, you kind of catch it in the act and think, oh man, I'm kind of reacting instead of responding. So I see a real good MKUltra doctor and he fills my mind with the greatest things. Oh, it's so good. Anyways, Anna Freud, Sigmund's daughter, remember her? Of course she was connected in the Southern California scene, LA, and she embraced these ideas of fixing one's mental state. And Marilyn Monroe, of all people, she sought help from a guy named Dr. Ralph Greenson, who practice these same thoughts, these same things. And he thought he could fix Marilyn's drug addiction problems. And because she had, you know, she was addicted to drugs and had depression. And he wanted to help her by showing her how a proper American life looked. So this guy, this hero, Dr. Ralph Greenson, he moved her into his house with his family. I'll bet that was a real tough sacrifice for him to move Marilyn Monroe into his house. How do you think that looked at home? Hey, babe, guess who, I'm gonna move this young lady in strictly for the help. I'm gonna help her out here. So he moved Marilyn Monroe into his house, to show her what a real, he'd be a real positive role model in her life. And then it didn't work. She eventually committed suicide because Marilyn Monroe had the diamond programming, folks. MK Ultra diamond programming. It's when you program a slave for the presidential slave or whatever they call it. I don't know. It goes deep into that realm. If you look up like Fritz Springmeier's talks on this, they claim that there's diamond programming where certain people are slaves for very high up political people like the president. Okay. And they say that it's through, you'll see this symbol of the diamond in their mouth or over their eye that signifies this. And you see it many times. I've seen Beyonce do it. I've seen Britney Spears do it. I've seen Marilyn Monroe do it. I've seen, oh, I can't think of her name. She was popular like 5 years ago. Cool story, bro. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You'll see it. Once you know it, you'll see it. Does that mean these people are sexual slaves for the president? I don't know. How would I know? That's the theory. So in the 1960s, since Marilyn's very public fall, these psychoanalysts were now viewed with skepticism from the public because they kind of knew what happened with Marilyn. And, you know, rightfully so, maybe. A woman named Dorothy Bellingham, she moved into Freud's house with Anna to get more of this psychoanalysis stuff. And her son died of alcoholism. And then Freud's sister, Maddie, returned to the Freud house for help as well. She committed suicide. And a lot of Freud's theories were beginning to fall apart on him. And that's where the second episode concludes, is like questioning Freud and his theories. Is this the right path forward here? But what we're going to talk about in the next episode, in episode 3, we're going to go through the opposite approach, because they thought, because in episode 1 and 2, we're talking about how you restrict the human desires because it's irrational and animalistic. So in the 60s, a guy named William Reich thought the opposite of Freud, and he thought, no, you feed those inner desires, which is where you got the whole hippie movement. And Esalen workshops and the human potential movement. We're going to talk about Katy Perry and John Denver. And, you know, what's curious here is that I'm reading this book on Marjorie Cameron, and Aleister Crowley was hanging out with Aldous Huxley, showing him how to do peyote to, like, you know, expand one's consciousness or whatever. And Huxley then wrote the book The Doors of Perception, which talk about hallucinogens, which influenced the 60s movement and Timothy Leary and all of that. So indeed, there's a direct link that Crowley got the Aeon of Horus kicked in with the child god worship, or whatever you call it, crown and conquering child, because he was truly the father of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And anyways, that's what we're going to get into the 60s on the next episode. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for your reviews on iTunes, Amazon for the book The Dark Path, or my other books. Dark Path's my most comprehensive. And Audible, I've seen those reviews too. Very good. I'm sorry that I mispronounced esoteric. Oh, such a problem. But to me, I'm kind of like, you know, I don't know. Like, you get what I'm saying. Esoteric's the same as esoteric. But anyways, thanks for the reviews. Thank you for the Patreon supporters. As you know, YouTube kicked me out. Big deal. I had like 73,000 subscribers, a couple hundred videos, over 10 million views, and they kicked me off. So I don't know what to do. I got to figure it out. That's going to consume a lot of my time here in the next few weeks, is trying to figure out where to put my videos so that you can watch them. And yeah, it's real disturbing. My last episode of the podcast is all about me crying about YouTube, so you probably already know the story. Boy, I was on Blackout Radio with Sammy Scarlett talking about it a little bit more in depth. If you want to check out Blackout Radio, it was the episode airing Friday, July 27th. You can find me on Twitter at Illuminati Eyes. You can find me on Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Go follow me there, because guess what I got for you? Pictures from the trip to Area 51. Lots of alien stuff out there. That's pretty cool out in the desert. They're making it happen out there. I'm going to do a whole show. I don't know how I'm going to do this yet. I'm going to either do a podcast talking about my travels there, or like a documentary kind of video where I show the images. So I got a couple like short little videos. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. More to come on that. But follow me on Instagram, because I uploaded a couple pictures already at Isaac Weishaupt. Thank you for your time. As always, be your best for those who deserve your best.